Today we are going to be talking about your money, my money, what God says about money, especially as believers. I want you guys to stay tuned all the way through. We're going to go through some of the top questions that Christians have in regards to their generosity, their giving, their finances, and I'm here for it. Pastor Dan, welcome.
Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast, and grateful to be here. Grateful to be talking about biblical finances and what that looks like in our lives. A lot of questions about this stuff.
Very much so.
A lot
of things. Very much so.
You know, and I think especially in tough times, things are going on. Money's tight, inflation, what's going to happen to the economy, and then birthdays and weddings and graduations and all this kind of stuff comes up, you know?
Well, it is graduation season. I know I have a graduation in my house.
I have a graduation of mine.
You have a now, my graduation is pre-K.
mine is high school.
Yeah, you got the big one. That's a cool one.
Yeah, second child graduating from high school, and so it's a big accomplishment. They're getting ready to launch out into the world and do business and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And so we're excited, and get to go and do the whole walk and all that tonight. So yeah, it's going to be great.
Walk. You mentioned you yourself didn't walk.
No, when I graduated high school, I never walked. I actually graduated the semester, and then I was headed to St. Louis on a bus. It was a big white bus. We called it the Wonder Loaf.
I wonder if people even know about Wonder Bread anymore.
Probably.
Remember there used to be the outlets?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are so good. By the way, that was off topic.
Now it's all the Bimbo bread.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
it's
right.
Like everything's, I don't know if that's how you spoke. Is it Bimbo?
Bimbo.
It?
Yeah, yeah.
So, we used to laugh. Yeah, Bimbo bread, you know, the bear. So anyways, but yeah, no, I was on a bus out to St. Louis area, and we were doing training camps and things like that, going on the mission field. And so I was off to Europe and Israel and, you know, all that kind of stuff that year. And so never walked. 10 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm married, you know. 10 years later, I've got one kid, and I'm going to back to the high school.
Go to the archives. You had to go through the archives.
They had to go to a storage unit and pull it out. Like, I had to schedule a time. Like, okay, hold on.
Oh, wow.
We got to go get it out of the storage.
Dust it off.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Get it out of a box somewhere and find my diploma from my year. So, yeah, I went back, got it. And then same thing happened when I graduated from Riverside Community. I got my associate's degree in music and just was like, hey, mail it to me. And they did, thankfully. I didn't have to wait 10 years, but, you know.
There you go. Well, you know, you went on to, it was just like, it was, I guess, you know, it's a ceremony. And so to some people, that's a big deal. But you were out.
I was ready.
In the world, ready to go.
Out there, yeah. I did walk during Bible college, you know. So
it's safe to say you didn't peak in high school.
No.
Come on now, Pastor.
Still haven't.
Yeah, come on now. That's good.
Not till I go to be with Jesus. So we're getting better every day.
That's the peak.
Every day.
Well, today we're going to be talking about finances. We're going to be talking. I mean, I know we're in a financial series, but over the next several weeks, we want to change up some of the format from maybe asking hot topic questions.
Okay.
And I'm going to shoot some of these rapid fire. We'll get started so I can get as many in.
Yeah, I mean, this is very colorful wheel. You want to explain that to everybody that's viewing?
We populated this name generator with some questions, again, some of the top questions that believers have in regards to not just tithes and offerings, but giving and their own personal money. And I think it's important for all of us to be equipped in this area. And we want to know what the Word of God says. And so, again, these aren't like gotcha questions. They're more desire to be informed with what I believe are legitimate. But there are, you know, some might feel more like softball. Some of them are going to be like, oh, okay. So I'm just going to shoot them to
you. It's a
questions. Randomizer. We got them in a little randomizer and so that we could just go through them. And so no one could accuse us of just lobbing you up some softball
questions. And by the way, I haven't read any of these questions. I don't know what they are. And so I'm like hoping for some softballs at the beginning, you know. So
we're gonna go in. So here we go. Without
he didn't send these to me. This is the first time I've seen this.
First question.
Random.
Bum 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 bum.
Here it comes. I feel like we need like a
maybe post edit.
Okay, here we go.
How do I manage money well without becoming materialistic?
Ooh.
Let's give ourselves around 60 seconds on this.
60 seconds per question. How do I manage money well without becoming materialistic? You know, the Bible talks about attachment to possessions and things like that. God has no problem with us having money. He has a problem with money having us.
Yeah.
And so I remember my first guitar. My first guitar is beautiful. It was a white Stratocaster. And I loved it. I got it because I learned how to play.
Right.
My parents bought it for me. There came a time where we had a missionary couple that came to our church,
yeah.
and they were with Total Orphanages in Africa. And at the end of the service, Pastor Jim got up. He said, "How can we stand by and let something like this happen?
Right.
We got to get involved." He said, "I'm selling my boat."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Everybody needs to figure out what they're going to do." Well,
yeah.
I said, "God, what can I do?" And God said, "Sell your guitars." I had some guitars. I had, you know, plenty of guitars. And
yeah.
so even though I was selling guitars, I still owned guitars. But the one that I was going to sell was my first guitar, and it had sentimental value.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to my dad, because he's the one that bought it for me. And I said, "Dad, God put it on my heart to sell this guitar. Are you okay if I do that?" Mm. And he looked at me and he said, "It's good not to get attached to things."
Mm.
I think anything that we hold in our hands, if we hold it openly.
Yeah.
And say, "God, all this is for the kingdom."
Yeah.
Right? We're only here temporarily anyways.
That's good.
Anything lasting or eternal is not going to be yeah. here on the earth.
Yeah.
So it's okay to have things that are of sentimental value,
mm-hmm.
things that you enjoy, you know, if you saved up and got the good one rather
yeah.
than the mediocre one, whatever.
Yeah.
That's okay. But realize any of this is God's property that I get to steward.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have the stewardship mentality, it
That's
takes
good.
You off the materialistic.
That's good.
You know, mindset.
It's all his anyways.
Yeah.
I might get to have it for a time. I saved up for it. Oh, it's expensive.
Fun
it's
while
it
lasted.
Yeah,
but, you
no,
know, the crazy thing about that story is that years later, one of my friends came and he gave me a Christmas gift, and it was my first guitar.
It was that same exact
The exact same guitar.
Wow.
So he heard me preach yeah. a message about I'm selling
yeah.
my guitar.
Yeah.
He went the next morning to Guitar Center.
Yeah.
Stood there as the store was opening. He thought there'd be a line of people
yeah.
from the church waiting yeah. to buy this to give it back to me. He was sorely mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
But he bought that guitar
yeah.
and gave it back to me. He
wow.
said, "I wanted you to feel it," so I
yeah.
waited. He waited several years.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got a picture of myself holding the guitar with like
wow.
a pale white face. Like, is this really?
Wow,
it
amazing.
Still had all my smudges. It still mm-hmm. had it like, you know, even
yeah.
the pickup on it was a little loose. I was
yeah.
like, "Could you have let them clean it and like fix it before you purchased it?" You know, just. So I get it back in better condition. But it still had my fingerprints on it.
Wow.
Crazy.
So cool.
Crazy story.
Yeah.
And yet, it was God's,
and
right?
That's another, you know, a way that... Now, God doesn't always work it out like that, but
no.
in this case, that's...
It's just wild to
yeah.
think about. But anything that, you know, I've been saying this a lot lately to some young people that are in my life, and I said, anything we place in God's hands isn't lost.
Mm, so good.
It's either sacrificed or sown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God knows how... to get things back to us and get us what we need. And so that's why open-handed is always the best,
so
you know?
Good. All right.
Let's random. Here we go. I like how you click the center.
That's to do it.
I'm thinking like, what's that? Big Money. What's that one?
Price is Right.
Oh, Wheel of Fortune. Yeah, there you go.
What's the difference between tithes and offerings?
Ooh, this is a good one. So we actually addressed this in the message this
mm-hmm.
past week, and tithes is 10%. It's like saying a quarter,
yeah.
right? A tithe is a tenth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tithe. An offering is anything outside of that. So if you give your 10%, and then you say, "Hey, you know what? There's a special missions thing. I'm going to give $100 towards that." That's
yeah.
an offering.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You know, your tithe is on the increase. Your
mm-hmm.
offering is on whatever God puts on your heart.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say there's a church building program,
mm-hmm.
right? Your tithe is for
yeah.
the work of the ministry. The offering goes towards the building program, right?
Right? Yeah.
So, a tithe is for the church, for the storehouse where you're
yeah.
receiving from.
Mm-hmm.
The offering is for, you know, you can give an offering in many places, you
yeah.
know, offering to evangelistic work. You can give an offering to your Christian school. You can, you know, do that. Now, if it's an offering to God, obviously
yeah.
God's house
mm-hmm.
is his church.
Yeah.
Right? But that doesn't mean that you can't support other works with an offering,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So tithe is 10%. It's of your increase. It's consistent. You know, as increase comes in, you give that tenth
yeah.
to your church, the local storehouse where you're getting fed from. Offering is, hey, God's blessed me over and above. I have a heart to give.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. It could be to the church. It could be, like I said, to missionary. It could be to, you know, any other place that you decide, you know.
What do you say about this? I've heard it said this way. You bring your tithes, you give offering. Because
ooh,
the
I
tithe,
like that, yeah.
you know, you don't give tithes because you're actually just returning that. So it's not until you...
It's God's.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a little bit more of on the heavier
yeah.
side of stuff. But you bring your tithe to the Lord because
yeah.
you're returning that. And then above that, that's an actual gift.
Right.
Right?
I like that.
Okay.
I think it's a great way to view that. What's neat is, as I don't know if you guys can see this, so while this is spinning, he's removing those questions so they don't ever come back up again. What do we got?
How do I balance generosity with financial responsibility?
Ooh, so financial obligations come first. Mm-hmm. So the tithe is always first mm-hmm. priority because that's yeah. God's, right? Mm-hmm. It's not mine. It's yeah. God's. God comes first in my life. The tithe is actually a test of your heart to show where your heart is. Mm-hmm. Is God first? Is he yeah. priority? Is he number one? So you give the tithe first, bring the tithe first, mm-hmm. right? Then you pay your financial obligations, your bills. I owe the mortgage company yeah. this much per month for yeah. 30 years, mm-hmm. right? At this interest rate. I owe the car company this much at 60 months for this mm-hmm. interest rate. I owe the gas company because I used gas. I owe the water company because I used water, yeah. et cetera, right? Trash and television, phone bill, all that good stuff, right? If you have a gardener or a pool mm-hmm. man, you have to pay the people that are working for you, right? You yeah. have to pay for the goods and services, okay? Then you should have a budget. And your budget should include things like, I need to eat. My kids need to eat. Mm-hmm. If your kids are growing, how much are we going to set aside for their clothes? Mm-hmm. It's good to have yeah. that closed yeah. circle, okay? Yeah. Right? That this is how much I need to work on. This is how much I need to live on.
Yeah.
This is what my bills are. So if you have, like, let's say you had, and I'll try and do it this way. If you have a circle, right? And then within that circle, you have a smaller circle, okay? That big circle is everything that's your income. That smaller circle is what you need to live on. That includes your tithes. That includes all of your bills. That includes your savings. You should have retirement, things mm-hmm. like that, yeah. right? Okay, so you close that circle. Once you close that circle, anything outside of that circle within the greater income becomes
yeah.
generosity.
That's good.
That way, and some people put that generosity in their closed circle budget,
right.
which I've done,
yeah.
which is a great way that if you see a need that you can immediately give.
Right.
Because if you have it budgeted that, hey, I'm going to put, you know, and let's say you have your closed circle and outside of that, you had an extra $200 left mm-hmm. over per month,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so for 5 months, you put $200 away. You got $1,000.
Right.
Someone comes to you and says, I'm having trouble paying my rent. Well, here's $1,000.
Yeah. That's good.
It was budgeted. Mm-hmm. You had it. You mm-hmm. knew it. And you just pray and say, God, whatever you want to do with this. Pastor Paul talks about a little book called The God Account.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how that changed his life in mm-hmm. the sense of being generous. They actually had a little account that they would just put, you know, a little yeah. bit aside, $20 per paycheck or yeah. whatever they could, you know.
Yeah.
And they just, whenever there'd be a need, they'd say, okay, God, what do you want us to give out of your account?
Right. That's good.
Bang, they were ready to be generous.
Yeah.
But everything else was tithes, obligations, all those things. Pay those
yeah.
first.
Yeah.
And I have a
Venmo account. So some stuff comes to me in Venmo, but I know I don't ever transfer Venmo to my, like, this is account that I can give
nice.
Generously. So
yeah.
there's a wedding, there's a birthday, there's a, oh, I want to send some money for, hey, and I'll just, hey, go get a coffee. And that to me is like, it's my generosity pool in which I can give freely. And I enjoy doing that, right? Is that
yeah.
I love abundance. It's not like, oh, because I don't want everything just to be tied to the local church. There's other expressions I sure. want to make sure I'm living generously from.
I love
right?
that.
And so that's a fun little account that I have. That's yeah. kind of like my God account that I can do those things.
You know, it used to be you could put change or you could put, you know, whatever mm-hmm. your dollar is left over into a jar mm-hmm. or something like that. Now with technology and yeah. tools, you can literally
makes it
in
easy.
Seconds just put yep. money aside. And then, like you said, have a right. Venmo or, you know, mm-hmm. Gift cards or different yep. things. And digitally, you can send those things now and
yeah.
people can have them on their phone. It's a yeah. new world, new age, but there's some great tools out there to help yeah. with generosity.
Awesome. Okay, our next one.
Spinning.
Pastor. I know we don't like dead time around here.
Nah,
so
we'll just chit-chat while it spins. So these are getting bigger, though, I noticed.
As the questions go yep. away, should Christians invest in the stock market, real estate, or crypto? That's a good one.
You know, it's funny because there's a song that Pastor Jim sent me. Mm-hmm. Years and years ago, but he loved it, and it's called Buy Dirt, okay? Mm,
oh, yes.
Have yeah, you heard
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, country it. Western yeah. for all the country.
Yeah, yeah.
The country Western music is like the number one.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Like the most radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
sure.
It's crazy. But anyways, that's an aside. But yeah, Buy Dirt. It's yeah. it's a solid investment. It's amazing to me how the Bible talks about land mm-hmm. and how important the land
right.
is. Mm-hmm. You can't get any more land, mm. right?
Yep.
They're not creating more. I mean, maybe yeah. Hawaii is yeah, with the yeah. volcanoes and stuff like that. But really, there's not going to be more land. So if you can purchase it, the property values will, over time, mm-hmm. long-term investment-wise, it's a solid investment. And so, yeah, invest in that. The stock market is can be volatile as well as crypto. It's a new thing.
Yeah.
Those two are more ups and downs and things like that. I would say that if you're going to invest in those things, that you have an advisor or have some sort of a plan or a strategy that you're willing to look into that and give attention to it. Because if you're not giving attention to it, you're just, you know, there are some investments that are solid that you know that you can put into.
Yeah.
Leave it alone, or if you have a financial advisor or a broker.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, my retirement is in the stock market. It is a Christian brokerage that invests in companies that are not promoting pornography, smoking, vaping, you know, marijuana, CBD, you know, anything like that, alcohol. But they will invest in companies that may service people with those things, like restaurants. Restaurants or you know, airlines and things like that. But their investments have actually won awards. For what they've done. But it's all stocks, things like that, and then some long term markets and things like that. So it's good. In fact, this coming weekend we're going to talk about where.
Well, I'll follow it up because I could imagine why it might have landed on this list is because maybe Christian's apprehension to, well, is it gambling? You know, something like crypto or maybe some of the more volatile investments, is that kind of on the gambling side? Also, people, I feel like I've heard it preached in a message before. Like, hey, you're you know, you have a stock. Now you're checking your stocks all the time, and now you've attached, you've kind of made it an idol of sorts in the sense of like, oh man, I'm up today, and then like now your moods are going up and down based on this investment. So that's maybe where some of the
Again, I think the desire for wealth, you know, that's where it says the love of money, right? Mm-hmm. Not money itself. Money in itself is nothing, but the desire, the love of money, those sorts of things can be the root of all evil, you know, or the Bible says more explicitly is the root, the love of money, right? Yeah. So we have to be aware that those things can grip our hearts and that they can take control of us. Yeah. And if we're not careful, it can become an idol. And that's where same thing with stocks. Stocks can become an idol because it represents money, you know. And so if you're finding that your interest is greater in that financial investment than it is in your spiritual investment, in the kingdom, you know, your time with God, your prayer time, those sorts of things, if it's taking away, then I would say that's become an idol to you, and you need to break your heart off of that. Now, the great way to do that is tithing.
Yes.
Tithing breaks that spirit off of us, right?
Yeah, that's a good way.
And then giving as well is a great way to break that off. You know, sometimes when there's the attack of lack or that sort of thing, the devil's coming at us, a great way to do it is just give it, you know? Yeah.
Attack of lack. I like that.
Attack of lack.
I like that. Let's see here.
Here we go. We're spinning.
Yeah. That, thank you, Pastor Dan. These are good so far. I like them. We're going right through them. That's good.
Here we go.
Probably won't get through all 105 of them.
Was there 105?
No, I'm
kidding. Oh, man. I was.
How does giving relate to God's blessing or favor? I mean, we hear the two connected. Get your favor, get the blessing.
Yeah.
What do we really need to know about this?
I think there's two thoughts on this. One is that we did address this past weekend in the message, that what you sow, you reap.
Mm-hmm.
And when you reap, that's a blessing, right? Mm-hmm. We would say that there's a greater capacity to succeed when you reap a greater harvest, that sort of a thing. But when we talk about blessing is God's ability that's given to us. It's a grace. It's the capacity to succeed.
Yeah.
That's what the blessing of God is.
Right.
It's God capacity in our life to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes with favor. Favor is also another term in the Bible that can be interchanged with the word grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. So when we talk about giving, specifically, if we want to talk about the tithe, there is a promise attached to the tithe.
Yeah.
That God says, will I not open the windows of heaven and pour out you such a blessing that you can't contain, and I'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf.
Yeah.
Those are two things that I need in my life, right?
Yep.
So that's directly related. Now, giving in itself, again, whatever you sow, you will reap.
Yeah.
And so that's the correlation between that with the blessings and the favor of God. As well, when we're generous, we're participating in the very nature of God.
Yeah.
And when we participate in the nature of God, we're partaking of it together with Him. That's something that's pleasing to God, and that comes with the blessing of God as well.
Right.
Right? When you do things God's way, you get God's blessing and favor.
Well, so then let me spin it like this. So does anyone who has abundance or wealth, are they in the favor or blessed by God?
No, because you've got ungodly people that are more wealthy than everybody else on the planet, right?
And or is it always an indicator? I think that's the reason why it comes up. It's like, oh, they're Christian and they have all this thing. Is that an so because then the contrary says if you don't have wealth, if you don't have materialism, right, then you're not blessed and you're not favored.
No, and that's simply not true. It is an indicator, but it's not the indicator, right? Yeah. So yes, you could see that somebody who has abundance, which again, what are we talking about when it comes to abundance? Yeah. If you go to Africa, someone might have an abundance of chickens.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, And you did see that in the Old Testament in Genesis. Mm-hmm. Abraham had abundance of flocks.
Yes.
He had an abundance of servants. Mm-hmm. He had an abundance of goods, you know. Not necessarily that he was rolling in a, you know, a new car and had the big house on the hill or anything like that. You know, he didn't have a castle. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a mansion, anything. Yeah. He had a tent that he pitched and that he moved from place to place. In fact, when he died, the only land he had was a burial plot.
Right. But and he had abundance in that he had enough to meet all his needs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, so much. And so that's where I think that when we take a look at what is the indicator, you know, does that show us God's blessing on their life, or that they have favor from God because they're wealthy? No.
That's good.
There's some very, if that was the case, then Vegas would be the most godly, holy place on the planet, right?
I told you we were not going to do the softball because these are the questions I know I hear people and the retorts and the conversations I think are healthy for us all to kind of get a godly understanding for these things. We good, Pastor Dan?
I think we're good.
All right.
I think we're doing okay. Hopefully our listeners have not tuned out yet. Hopefully they're enjoying this. I'm enjoying it.
What do we got? I like this one. How can I teach my children about money from a biblical perspective?
I just got to pause. There's like fireworks going off on the back of this every time. I don't know if we can see that on the video, but like it's so happy.
Well, so this is designed for people's name. So imagine if you're in a classroom and then your name comes up and it's like, yay, congratulations.
Is this that like, you know, gentle parenting, everybody gets a reward?
I bet you this is more of a resource for teachers
probably.
Or people. You know, maybe I like it though. Our kids' ministry could use it.
So speaking of kids, yes, how can I teach my children about money from a biblical perspective? I think that age appropriate is always good, right? Mm-hmm. And we taught our kids. Anytime they'd get a birthday present, anytime that they would get cash for doing something for someone, that, hey, what's the tithe on that?
Yeah.
You had increase come into your life. Mm-hmm. Now, some people would be like, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to take that from that kid's $50 and you're going to give $5 to the church?
Right.
Yes. And here's the reason why. They don't understand money.
Yeah.
They don't know the value of $50. Mm-hmm. They haven't worked to get that $50. They don't know what that takes. They just know that somebody gave them $50, and that's like all the money in the world to them.
Right.
Now, $5 of that, if you said, hey, what's the tithe on 50, and you're teaching them math, which is good.
Yeah.
You're also teaching them responsibility that if I receive increase, I'm going to give to God.
Yeah.
And so our kids have never had any other thought about their paychecks, the increase that comes to them, other than, okay, my tithe is this amount, right? Yep. I got $100. Okay. And we'll ask them, did you give your tithe? Yeah, I gave 10 to the church.
Yeah.
Or no, I need to get $10 and I'll do it, you know?
Right.
And thankfully, again, the tools, as they've grown older, they've gotten their own bank accounts. They're able to do digital giving now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been key because, I mean, it's so funny. They'll open up their card. They'll be like, oh, wow, thank you, Nana, for the $100. And then they're whipping out their phone and they're texting, you know, $10 to the church. It's like, wow, there's their tithe, right? But that started at a young age. That started with, oh, hey, look, they gave you a $10 bill.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's $1.
Yeah.
We're going to take this to church and we're going to give it in the offering, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's a great way to teach them.
Yeah.
The other thing too is to bring them along on conversations, bring them along with you when you're doing certain things. Mm-hmm. You know, when we would pay for groceries, when we would do different things, we would teach them and take those moments. And when we would go to the bank, when we would invest in something, we would teach them those things. And then as well, just reading through the Bible together as a family, taking moments and things like that, or if they're looking at something, you know, especially as they become teenagers, I want a new car or I want to buy clothes, you know, and things like that, to start to have those biblical conversations and to take a look at, okay, so what does the Bible say about this?
Yeah.
What does the Bible say about stewardship, right? What does the Bible say about financial obligations and things like that? So we've taken those opportunities, and thankfully our kids have been very financially responsible.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful to see them grow into adulthood and into maturity and to have thoughts about how, I mean, one of my sons says, I want to finance the kingdom. Mm-hmm. I want to finance the gospel. You know, that's his whole heart. And so, you know, I think that that started at a young age. Yeah. That started with conversations. That started with developing the heart as they were little, mm-hmm. and then having age-appropriate conversations as they grew older.
Well, and you know, you and I have talked about this recently, where we both were raised tithing.
Yeah,
it was taught to us at a young age, and the advantage of that, the blessing of that, is so then when we were at an age when I know my first job, I think was $5.25 an hour. I don't yours was probably in the fours or something.
Mine was $50 for a month.
Oh,
of
that
mowing
under
lawns.
The table,
yes.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was grandma, right?
So in my first job, while it was little, I learned to tithe off of that.
Yeah.
And then so then when salary increases, kind of like your illustration from this weekend, I didn't really have those hoops to jump because I'd always
it's scalable
tithed. One of the brothers on staff always reminds me. He reminds me of a story that I shared in a message I preached about my son and teaching him to give. And I remember, so there was a time he got some increase for a gift or something like that. So, hey, son, we got to give this money now. As this is our giving. We're bringing this back, tithes and offerings. And he's like, he's a little bit reluctant, but he did it. And then I guess either that same night or the next day, he had someone give him money. And it was way more. And like it was just like, look what God did.
That's awesome.
So it was like this testimony of God's faithfulness. And they learn at a young age, like not that we give to get, but you give, it's that open-handedness. And the same Holy Spirit is in our children, and they're going to learn. And it's those victories, it's those testimonies that helps them get over the humps that we as adults often have to get over as well. Oh, great,
awesome.
Pastor Dan. We're breezing right through these. Where are we on time here? Okay, 5 minutes. We probably have enough for 1.5 answers. What does the Bible say about retirement and leaving an inheritance?
It actually says a lot. Yeah. You know, the Bible says that a good man will leave an inheritance for his children's mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. You know, multi-generational blessing. This is one of the things that the ancients and even in Eastern societies, you know, I think that they're doing this on a scale that probably the West and America, we're not doing it on. You know, we raise our children to be independent. We raise our children mm-hmm. to move out. And that's okay. They need to be independent. They need to be able to move out and that sort of a thing. But, I mean, if you look at people that move from the East, mm-hmm. a lot of them will cohabitate in one house. They'll all work and they'll all contribute to that house. Mm-hmm. They'll all invest like crazy and become very wealthy. And then they're able to purchase, mm-hmm. you know, greater mm-hmm. houses and different things like that to where they could move out on their own. Mm-hmm. Some of them still continue to have, you know, dual family or quad family or, mm-hmm. I mean, it's, and builders have actually caught on to this in our area. I don't know about other parts of the United States, but in our area, I see many multifamily homes.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hard to live in California. I know it's hard right now economically. And so multifamily has become a necessity in some cases. But in other cases, I think it's because we do have a lot of people moving in from other areas.
Yeah.
But the Bible talks about this, that they would, even when it's talking about the bridegroom,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
What they would do is they would just build another room on the house.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, they would add on mm-hmm. and that would be a part of the family.
Yeah.
And those blessings would go from generation to generation.
So
the land itself would go from generation to generation. Even if they had to sell their land in the year of Jubilee, it would get returned back to the family.
Mm.
So, you know, investments and things would come around. Those are things that we have to consider. What am I going to leave to my children?
Yeah.
And not just my children, my children's children.
Praise God.
What am I going to do for the generations? And those are things that if you're intentional, that if you do well, this is another thing for all of our members. We have a gift that we give. It's called free will. It's mm-hmm. on our website on the giving page. And you're able to go online and create a free will mm-hmm. or a living trust.
Yeah.
A living trust is better.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage people to do that
mm-hmm.
and include that with your will in it. But you put all of your assets inside of that so that if anything happens to you, it will automatically go to your generations without probate.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the things my grandmother did, it was funny, before she died, she just started giving away stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'd like to see my things that I enjoyed go to people that I love while I'm alive.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
So before she even passed, it was like, hey, and I still have like this big crystal glass. I don't even know what it's called, but it's for like punch. It's like a punch bowl.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's got the cups and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And so it was a beautiful expression for me and Pastor Jess that, wow, grandma gave us her punch bowl. You know, and I remember being little
mm-hmm.
and getting punched out of that thing, you know? So like, we have that now, you know, and that's something that people, as they're coming into those ages, what am I going to leave to my kids?
That's good.
What am I going to leave to my grandkids?
I like that idea because I know I got a couple things after my grandpa passed, and they're significant to me. But how cool would it had he given it to me? Because I knew he he had me in
I
mind.
I want you to he have wanted, this. Like, yeah.
So that's a thought. Very special. Interesting thought. Very cool. Awesome.
We got one more? One How are we doing?
I think we got time for one.
So we're looking at the guys. They're not seeing it on the video, but we got guys behind the camera, both of them in unity. Unity and oneness. What do we got here?
How can I trust God with my finances when things are tight? Wow, that's a good one.
You know, that's the question of the ages, isn't it? Yeah. Because our feelings mm-hmm. and even our minds can just rack us and take us on journeys that we don't need to go on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we trust God with our salvation, how can I trust God with my finances? I mean, we got to trust Him with everything. Yeah. We got to trust Him in good times and tough times.
Yeah.
We got to trust Him no matter what. Again, the tithe breaks worry yeah. and that fear and mammon off of us. It, mm-hmm. it applies the blessing of God. There's a confidence that comes with that we can trust God and say, God, and God says to bring, come, let us reason together and yeah. remind me of my word. Not that God forgot. Yeah. He's telling us, hey, appropriate it.
Yeah.
Right? Put it into play. Bring it up yeah. because God's word will not return void. So when we come to God and we say, God, I'm going through tough times. God, I'm a tither.
Yeah.
God, I know that you don't owe me anything, mm-hmm. but God, you promised. Yeah. And so God, I'm calling on you,
yeah.
the promise keeper.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm going through a hard time. Help me. God, I'll give you wisdom. God, I'll help you to steward. God will open doors. You know, God doesn't need money to get provision to us.
Right.
Right? Elijah didn't have money, but he had a water brook and ravens that brought him food.
Yeah.
I mean, what can't God do? There's been times where I've had a need and God has opened up a door that I would have never dreamed.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Baron Gilfin, who attends our church, he oversees the International School of Ministry. He says, we can think of 1,000 ways that God's going to do something. God will come up with 1,001.
That's good.
You know, it's like always that one way. And we're like, oh man, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
But that's where God delights
yeah.
to take care of his children. He's a good father. And so when we remember God's character, when we remember God's promises,
yeah.
and when we do what God says, yeah. it doesn't matter what the economy looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I could lose everything
yeah.
and still be standing strong.
Yep.
You know, Pastor Jimmy used to say, I could fall out of a 3-story building, land on my feet. You know? Now, there are other people, they fall out of a 3-story building, he'd say, they land in a Bentley. I don't know why I land on my feet, they land in the nice car, but, you know.
Yeah.
But God's going to take care of us no matter
what.
And quit looking over the fence. Quit comparing.
Yeah.
Don't just look to God.
Mm-hmm.
God will take care of your financial needs.
Well, I appreciate it, Pastor. I know these have been very practical.
It's a lot of fun.
But that's an important thing about our practicality in these things. I know we either over-spiritualize them or over-conspiracize, if that's a word.
That
we make it, you know, we blow it up to be
something
some kind
not.
Of dark thing and I think again I appreciate the answers, very straightforward right from the word, and man, we are so grateful. We hope that you stuck around all the way through. Over the next several weeks we'll probably be talking about different areas of our finances,
yeah, good.
And things that God desires for us to know, and man, we would love for you to be along with the journey. Maybe you have more questions, write those down in the comments. You know what, we're gonna get to them. Write them down, not maybe, we will get to them. You
we
write
will.
A question down. We will get to them. No softballs needed. Pastor Dan, you're good with hardball, right?
I love them. So, you know, and the neat thing is that if we rely on God's word and the Holy Spirit, what can't we handle? And yeah. if the answer is I don't know, we'll figure it out and we'll find out an answer to those questions. But we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Hey, this week's podcast is brought to you by Church Birthday Celebration and the Rock Bible College's 30th anniversary
wow.
graduation. My That's goodness, amazing. Lots of big stuff coming up. So be a part of the finance series, yeah. Sowing Successfully, part number 2 this weekend. And if you don't catch it live, catch it online. Get those messages. They will bless you and help you in these areas. A lot of practical stuff coming your way.
Share, like, comment, subscribe. Can't wait to see you on the next time. Love you guys.